Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Faith Focus Weekly Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. I just want to say thank you, whether you're watching or listening. I'm very grateful that you would take any time out of your day to listen or watch this. So thank you very much. If you'd like to make sure you don't miss anything, I recommend that you hit the subscribe button and also leave us a review and let us know how we're doing. My email address is also listed down below in the episode description, and so you can email me and let me know what you would like to cover in this podcast. I would love to hear your ideas about what would be useful for you as you walk in your discipleship journey with Christ. So let me know, and hopefully I can incorporate that as we move on into the future. Today, what I want to do is talk a little bit about the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you're here at Faith Covenant Church, you may know that we just wrapped up, several weeks of delving into the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a fascinating book. It's really raw and human, and it's not easy. It does not provide easy answers to anything. But that's part of what makes it so interesting and, I think, so valuable to delve into. So we're going to talk about that today because I think it's super interesting stuff to talk about. So just kind of first, one of the things I want to talk about is just some of the background and context of Ecclesiastes. We don't necessarily know who wrote the book. The character, you may say, or narrator of the book is someone who is known in the Hebrew word for it is Koholet. That's often translated as teacher or speaker. Another word that's often used for in a more technical sense is assembler, so the person who maybe put these ideas together. For our purposes, I'm going to call this person the teacher. A lot of people, scholars and otherwise, think that this teacher person is Solomon. Solomon certainly is a biblical character who is renowned for his wisdom. And so it would make sense that Solomon would write a book that deals a lot with wisdom. That's one of the common themes of the book. Solomon is also attributed with many portions, or maybe much of, or maybe even all of, the book of Proverbs. And so it would make sense that Ecclesiastes would also be from Solomon. Now, it's possible that it's not Solomon as well. Some scholars think that it could be somebody who wrote in the style of Solomon, as if they themselves are Solomon. So kind of taking on Solomon as kind of a character through which to write these thoughts about wisdom. So it's really hard to say. We do know about Solomon that he initially led the nation of Israel very well. He took over as king after his father David. Eventually, though, Solomon got led into sin and worshiping other gods, and that led to his downfall and led to some really bad circumstances for the nation of Israel. So some people would argue that Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon kind of in his later stages of life after he has kind of made a lot of these mistakes, and it's maybe showing Solomon in a more repentant phase. This is not something that we know of Solomon doing in the historical books that we have from Solomon, so that theory is a little bit more questionable, you might say. Scholars think that it was written later, after the time of Solomon, possibly as late as 500 years after Solomon. And like I said earlier, some of these scholars think that maybe whoever wrote this just kind of put it together in the style of Solomon, just to kind of give that idea of, okay, people, audiences are familiar with Solomon as a wise person, so if we write in that style, that wisdom kind of makes sense. So it's kind of taking on a character to engage with the audience in that way. It's also possible that Ecclesiastes is a collection of various writers, and someone over time, or some people over time, gradually kind of put these ideas and different writings together as one cohesive writing. So there's a lot of questions about who wrote it and when they wrote it. There are some internal clues inside of Ecclesiastes that say it wasn't Solomon. For example, there are some references to growing in wisdom and more being more wise and growing in wisdom more than any other king, which would be weird for Solomon to say, because there were no prior kings to Solomon except David. So there's some references to multiple kings, and at that point, Israel hadn't really had multiple kings, unless it's also referring to other kings in the area. So some of that gets kind of nebulous. There's also some references inside the text that say, oh, I was king, and that kind of points to it maybe not being Solomon as well, because there was never a time where Solomon wasn't king once he became king. It's not like he was king for a while and then was no longer king. So some of those lines suggest that maybe it wasn't Solomon. There's also an epilogue that definitely feels like it was written by another person. So when you get to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the final chapter, and then you look at verses 9 through 14, it suddenly is written from like a third-person perspective instead of a first-person's perspective, the way the rest of Ecclesiastes was. So that piece, many scholars say, was maybe written later, either by a person who compiled everything or a person who was kind of looking at it all afterwards and was kind of just creating a little epilogue to kind of explain a little bit about the end pieces of it. So that's a possibility as well. Now, with all of that said, does it matter who wrote it and when it was written? Not necessarily, because Ecclesiastes still has a lot to offer us about walking with God and asking the big questions of faith, thinking about wisdom, all those kinds of things. So there's still a lot that can be gained without knowing for sure who wrote it and when they wrote it. So even if it wasn't written by Solomon, it was probably written by someone like him in the time of him or within a few hundred years after Solomon. So again, hard to say. Now, it's also important to mention that within the wider context of the Bible as a whole, Ecclesiastes is part of the wisdom literature. And the wisdom literature includes other books like Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Songs, and Lamentations. So this wisdom literature is kind of called that because wisdom literature is, in essence, a biblical answer to the search for truth. So that's kind of a way of thinking through what it is. Now, Ecclesiastes is very different than Psalms. Psalms in particular has a lot of psalms of praise and psalms of lament, more just kind of dialogue between the writer and God. Proverbs is more of a collection of like wise and practical sayings. Ecclesiastes has a really different feel from those two books. It's really in-depth discussion about themes of wisdom, of hedonism, or the search of pleasure, the search of material wealth, all those kinds of things. So it really gets really in-depth on a few things, which kind of differentiates it from some of the other wisdom literature that we have. And then a last piece that I think is really interesting about Ecclesiastes is that Ecclesiastes is never directly quoted in the New Testament. That's not to say that it's not worthwhile or that it's not valued by writers of the New Testament. It just happens to not be quoted in the New Testament. So that's interesting. Now, that's not to say that it's not echoed in the New Testament. So when you're reading through Ecclesiastes, there will be a couple of times that you say, huh, Jesus said something really similar to that. And that's very true. So even though it's not directly quoted, you might say that it is echoed, and that's worth noting as well. So, with all of that as kind of background and context for Ecclesiastes, I want to delve into just a couple of the major themes of Ecclesiastes. There's so much you could dive into. We spent several weeks diving into it, but I want to share just a couple of the things that I thought were most interesting and I think are most helpful for us to consider as we go on. Maybe not most helpful. I guess it's just what I think is most interesting. So any part of scripture can be helpful for different seasons that you're in. So I guess these are the things that I find most helpful for the season that I am in. So the first theme is simply to enjoy what you can while you can in the life that you have. This comes up a lot of times throughout Ecclesiastes about it is good just to enjoy this life under the sun. The phrase under the sun repeats a lot. So it's just kind of this, when you hear under the sun, it's just kind of meaning during your lifetime, while you have life. So there's multiple verses about following your heart and just doing what you enjoy and enjoying the simple things in life. God has given us so much to enjoy and so many ways to enjoy it. God wants us to live happy lives in accordance with his perfect will. God has given us five senses to perceive things that are good. We can hear music that is beautiful. We can taste good food. We can smell the flowers. We can touch things that are warm or fuzzy, like a nice blanket. We can hear music. I think I already said that. We can see mountains. We can see paintings and art. So God has given us five senses, and he has wired those senses to perceive certain things as good. And so God wants us to enjoy those simple good things. Some of those things throughout Ecclesiastes include the joy of a simple, delightful meal, or the joy of good company. It's really simple things, and Ecclesiastes just tells us, you know what? God has given these things to us, so enjoy it while you can. Enjoy the work, the fruits of your labor. The teacher repeats this several times throughout Ecclesiastes, and it's just a reoccurring theme, and that really just kind of stuck with me. The other thing we need to keep in mind, though, is that we need to do this within reason. So even though Ecclesiastes says, enjoy what you like, do what you enjoy, follow your heart's desires, we have to interpret scripture by other scripture. And so when we're told to do what we enjoy, that doesn't mean we go get drunk and get wasted and sleep around or things like that. We have to do it within the bounds that God has prescribed to us for living a good life. Now, with that said, there's still plenty of enjoyable things to do. That gives us a lot of freedom to enjoy so many good gifts that God has given us. Go enjoy your exercise routine. Enjoy a good meal. Enjoy time with your loved ones, with friends and family. Enjoy all these things. Just don't do so in a way that's irresponsible and ungodly. So Ecclesiastes also frequently mentions that we're all going to die at some point. So sometimes it seems like it's not the most cheerful book in many ways. But the point that the teacher is making in Ecclesiastes is that all of us have an end date to this earthly life. We're all going to die. So, given that that is true, don't waste your time chasing after all these things that you think might make you happy. Just enjoy what you do have. Part of the recurring theme of, or a recurring phrase that comes up in Ecclesiastes is everything is meaningless. Other translations phrase it as everything is vanity or futility, or the more maybe accurate term is vapor. And it's this idea that you might chase after all these things in life, and maybe they give you some enjoyment, but ultimately when you try to grab it, it just slips through your fingers because it's a vapor. It doesn't really have any substance to it. So instead of chasing after these things, just enjoy what you have. It's really all about just the simple things. Later passages of Ecclesiastes, particularly in Ecclesiastes 11 and 12, They also talk about how in time, if you live long enough, your body starts to age and your physical abilities do, on some level, diminish over time. So, given that, enjoy your youth while you have it. Enjoy when you're able to still exercise and play with your kids and work hard and do all those things that you enjoy being able to do with your body, because in time, everybody ages and then you die. It's kind of, I don't think it's morbid, because I think it's just a reminder that our lives here on Earth are finite, and so that frees us to simply enjoy what we have. So it's a pretty simple message, but it's one that's really been sitting with me a lot recently as we've been going through this class. So that's the first theme that I want to talk about today. The second theme is simply that God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. God is in control. God sees everything that's going on. So as the teacher phrases it, all things are meaningless or a vapor, kind of like I already just talked about. He's basically saying that all of these things have their limits. And he especially, for a while, early on in Ecclesiastes, focuses on three things: wisdom, hedonism, or the pursuit of pleasure, and wealth. And basically the teacher says, okay, I chase after wisdom and I learned everything possible. I read everything I could from all the surrounding cultures, and I still had questions, and I didn't know everything, and all I had was God. So it can be useful to learn things. I'm all for learning. I am all for education. Those are lovely things that God has empowered us to be able to do. But at the end of the day, it's not everything. If you make wisdom or the pursuit of knowledge your main goal in life, it's going to let you down. And the teacher was let down. Likewise, pleasure has its limits as well. You can go chasing after pleasure. You can go sleep around. It's not a good idea. You can go do drugs. Not a good idea. All of these things, they might bring you some short-term enjoyment, but in the long term, you just end up wanting the same things over and over. And so there's not eternal joy to be had in that either. And the teacher ran into that. The teacher said, you know, I've tried these things. Wasn't that great. Didn't do him any good. So I'm kind of back at square one. And then the teacher also looked at the pursuit of wealth and chasing after money and possessions and power. And the teacher achieved those things, but after achieving them, was kind of, again, back at square one of like, okay, what did I really gain from this? What did I, you know, did this really make me deeply happy? Did this answer all the questions that I have in life? And the teacher just said no. Ultimately, what the teacher found in pursuing all these things, in pursuing wealth or pleasure or wisdom, the teacher just kind of found that, you know what? None of these things really did anything for me. And really what's best is just looking towards God and recognizing that God is in control. God is sovereign. The teacher also, again, like I've already talked about, mentions that in life, we have a limited number of days, and then we die. Now, keep in mind that this understanding is a pre-Jesus understanding, before we knew as much about eternal life and before Jesus had provided that for us. So, but at the time, the writer is saying, you know what? God has numbered every one of our days under the sun. God knows exactly what's going to happen for us. Only God knows those things. We can try to guess everything that God is going to do with us and through us or for us. We can guess those things, but we're probably not going to get it right. And what's going to happen will happen. We are not in control. Only God is in control. And the writer just keeps, the teacher just keeps coming back to that perspective and is really trying to drive it into the minds of his audience that only God is in control. No matter what, our lives just unfold as they unfold. We don't know what that's going to look like. Only God does. So only trusting in God is going to give you any good in life, and only God is consistent and unchanging. Everything else can change. Everything else can change. Only God stays the same. So God is in control, and when we know that, when we accept that God is in control, we can live simpler, more joyful lives, and that kind of feeds back into enjoying life while you can, because you can recognize that God is the one who is in control of every aspect of life. So as we went through Ecclesiastes over the last couple months, those were kind of the two themes that stuck to me out the most, was just simply recognizing that God is in control, God is sovereign, and enjoy life while you can. Enjoy what you can while you can. There's a lot more that we could talk about with Ecclesiastes, but I hope that's a discussion that you can have with any of your family or friends, or maybe that's a dialogue that you want to have with one of us on staff. So we are more than happy to engage in Scripture with you. So if you have any thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, let me know. Like I said, my email address is listed down below in the episode description. So thank you again so much for watching or for listening. It's a blessing to have you as a listener or watcher. We're just very thankful that you would take any time to make room for this in your life. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful and blessed day.